US companies, stating, "Look, you know, we're at 40%, they are 20%. This is a big problem." Stephen Moore said that they explained these tax differences using charts because Donald Trump likes to look at pictures he doesn't like to read. According to Stephen Moore, Trump looked at this and he said, "No, I don't want to do that. Instead, proposing not 20%, I want 15%, with the number coming back to an effective 20% rate only after Senate negotiations. Donald Trump's tax cuts slashed effective corporate tax rates in half, while providing other measures benefiting wealthy corporations. According to business reporters and economists, the cuts have been blamed for widening inequality in America and worsening deficits, with large amounts of the savings going to stock buybacks. The Congressional Research Service pointed out that any positive effects like the wage or gross domestic product growth were transient and had petered out by the end of the quarter in which the cuts were put into effect. This reveals the power of the Council for National Policy, the CNP, a little-known body whose members are deeply secretive about their meetings. The CNP attendees' access to this picture of the inner workings of the Trump administration and the players who helped set its course is the result of adherence to a strict code of silence. In introducing the panel, the Council for National Policy Conference Director, Mary Margaret Hathaway, enjoined participants to secrecy, reminding them to not record any speaker remarks. Hathaway said, "CNP meetings are off-limit to the press, so please be aware of who you're talking to." She added, "Don't grant any interviews if you can run into a reporter asking questions about the event. Please let a member of the Council for National Policy staff or leadership team know." Despite her warnings, the organization itself made the recordings obtained by The Guardian and uploaded them on their website in a manner that made them accessible to any internet user. Other recordings obtained by The Guardian include talks at 2018 and 2019 meetings by senior Republicans, including Senator Tom Cotton and the U.S. Congressman Steve Scalise, the former governors including Scott Walker and Sam Brownback. The Council for National Policy, CNP, was founded in 1981 by influential Christian right activists including Tim LaHaye, Howard Phillips, Paul Weyrich, who were also involved in founding and leading the Moral Majority. Initially, they were seeking to maximize their influence on the new Ronald Reagan administration. In the subsequent years, the Council for National Policy, CNP, meetings played host to presidential aspirants like George W. Bush in 1999 and Mitt Romney in 2007, and sitting presidents including Donald Trump in 2020. Furthermore, on the other hand, the Trump administration and its chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, have been charged with a sweeping and audacious illegal payment scheme of tax-related crimes, marking the first criminal charges against the former president's company following a years-long investigation by the New York prosecutors. Weisselberg, who had worked for the Trump family for nearly 50 years, surrendered to the authorities at the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse recently and was charged by the Manhattan District Attorney with failing to properly report company perks, including rent-free apartments, school fees, and cars, in the latest stage of an escalating battle between New York prosecutors and the former president. The 15-count indictment against Alan Weisselberg and the Trump Organization charged them with a scheme to defraud, grand larceny, criminal tax fraud, and falsifying business records. A According to prosecutors, the Trump Organization paid employees' rent, utility bills, garage fees, school expenses, and other living expenses without properly declaring them so that they could and did pay federal, state, and local taxes in amounts that were significantly less than the amounts that should have been paid. Kerry Dunn, general counsel for the Manhattan District Attorney, said the 15-year-long arrangement was a sweeping and audacious illegal payment scheme. According to prosecutors, and Weisselberg was one of the largest individual beneficiaries of the scheme. The system was orchestrated by the most senior executives at the Trump Organization. According to the prosecutors, Alan Weisselberg received $1.7 million in illegal payments, including rent, bills, and garage fees for his Manhattan apartment and tuition expenses for Weisselberg's family members. Weisselberg and a lawyer for the Trump Organization pleaded not guilty.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge, where we are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam found in As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah. And we are at supplication number 8, first verse. The Imam Salamullah alayhi, first he was seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Hayajan al-Hirs, from greed. Now he is seeking refuge from Wasurat al-Ghadab, when anger reaches its limits, when anger boils up. So these are the most destructive moral vices that the Imam Salamullah alayhi, it tries to seek refuge in Allah in, and so should we. Now, let us talk about anger, but first let's try to understand and discuss anger from an intellectual perspective. Based on this discussion, then we can discuss and the later topics will be a lot easier to digest. First of all, the Imam Salamullah Alayhi says and uses the word Surat al-Ghadab. It means when it intensifies, when it sharpens, when it becomes at its peak, at its extreme, when it boils up, which means also there is a process that is in the background happening that brings about anger. So anger is not just something that just comes by itself and all of a sudden, like, I'm an angry person. It doesn't work like that. Like any other disease, there are things at the background working and happening that brings it to that level, that makes it what it is. Same thing with anger. The Imam says, Surat al-Ghadab, when it attacks, when it is in boils, when it intensifies, so there's also a process that's happening in the background that we need to understand. So anger is a mental state that a person assumes in the position of defense, revenge, or repelling evil that he when he confronts harm. Now let's leave it here, take a break, and we'll come back and continue, inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to The Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Just before the break, we identified and we said that anger is a mental state, right? So that's the definition of anger. It's a mental state that a person has when it comes to defense, revenge, repels evil or harm, or confronts harm in a places where a person just naturally becomes angry. Now, anger can be either good or it could be either bad. In either case, anger is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actual feeling of anger itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person who has anger and uses it correctly, then that makes that person brave. It's a bravery. When a person does not use anger in the right place and he does not use it at all, then he becomes a coward. When he goes to extremes, when he goes to an extreme limit of anger, that becomes madness. So when anger is used and it is contained and logic controls it, then it makes life a lot easier. So it becomes a pillar of life. A person uses it when he needs to defend himself, defend his family, perform his duties, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from him, preserve his life, his livelihood, and everything in between. That only happens when a person uses his power and faculty of anger in the correct, right manner. So it is used to preserve the life. The same thing with lust. Lust would be the opposite of anger. Because lust as well, if it's used to extremes, a person becomes animalistic. Does not use it, he will die. But if he uses it moderately, he will maintain his survival. Same thing with anger. So we need to understand that we have to keep our aql, our intellect, in charge of our feelings and our anger. And why do we call it aql in Arabic? In Arabic, they refer to intellect as aql. Why? I will tell you why right after this short break.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said, why is it called Aql? Why is it called intellect? Because in Arabic they say Aql al-Shay or Aql al-Jamal, when it's tied and it's knotted, when you put a knot on something and restrain it and hold it from moving. Therefore they refer to it as Aql. In English we call it intellect. So intellect, in fact, is what controls anger and lust. If a person is in charge of these two things, they call him aqil, intellectual. When these two things are out of control, that person is no longer an intellectual person. In fact, he's just being an animal. An animal uses his anger to just kill and just uses his lust to please himself, and nothing comes out of it. Therefore, animals are not intellectual creatures. Where a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has bestowed upon him the faculty of intellect to control, so that, as we say in Arabic, ya'qil, so he put a hold and restrain on anger and on lust when times that they need to be restrained. So a person in reality, when it comes to anger and when it comes to passion and lust, in fact he has an internal police officer, he has an internal someone dictating what should be done according to the Sharia law, obviously. So you have a person, a judge within inside you, telling you what to do when it comes to anger, lust, and all other faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. So this is the inner police. And when you deal with people on the outside with these faculties being controlled, then obviously you being aqil and intellectual as well. Once you let go, and then your anger takes over, and your lust takes over, and your other faculties, the faculty of imagination and so on and so forth, take over, then this kind of person becomes very destructive to society, becomes very destructive to himself, to his family, to those who are around him. So therefore, when it comes to the power of anger, it needs to be controlled and maintained in order for us to be intellectual. Thank you for being with us and listening to the program Bridge. Inshallah, we'll see you in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musavi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم، عشق و تولای تو را
food for thought.
Salam, and let us ponder on a beautiful statement from the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Often your utterances and expressions of your face reveal the secrets of your hidden thoughts.
Thank you. Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming.
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Chapter shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. It actually marks a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-ad planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18. But that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future, we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
The world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters, feasts their eyes on the city's skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the opening.
The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. Five Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down, it's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The Crying Room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who traveled to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mandano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mandano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes from for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country, where thousands of wildfires break out each year.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear Muslims, Salamu Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Iran. Our topic is about significance of politeness and mannerism in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Friday is the 22nd of Rabiul Awwal 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Aban 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of October 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Hujurat, verse 1.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi wattaqullaha innallaha samii'un 'aliim.
O you who have believed, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
God Almighty strictly forbids making decisions in advance before the leader of the Islamic community, since one who makes decisions in advance before God Almighty and His Messenger causes disorder in the management of the Islamic system, leads the society to chaos, and in fact plays with the legislative system through his personal inclinations. Acting upon the blessed verse prevents from the emergence of many a flaw, since following surmises, inclination toward innovation, hasty judgment, and so-called liberal thoughts may at the time lead men to making decisions that involuntarily does so in advance before God Almighty and His Messenger.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and that world that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone.
Significance of politeness in Islam. Every once in a while, you get asked for directions by a stranger on the street. At some point, everyone must have a walk into a clip shop or a bookstore. Everyone has occasionally experienced something that is not really worth mentioning afterwards. Yet those are the things I want to talk about. I often feel that we always have to prove ourselves when we are in public. It seems as if the world still has no idea that we Muslims are as normal as anybody else around. Nowadays, it is often talked about many people to show them that good Muslims still exist. As crazy as it sounds, it is today's reality.
Now it is our turn to show the media that they are entirely wrong. We have to show the world that the vast Muslim majority is not looking for beheadings or anything related to that. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin ista'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with politeness as viewed in Islamic teachings. Another one is using a mild language. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه تغى فقول له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى. You too, that is Moses and Aaron, his brother Aaron, were instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to approach Pharaoh, but at the same time they were instructed to talk with Pharaoh in a milder language. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكِّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Speak to him in a mild language so that he would take lesson or make sense fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one is, talking with the opponents, out of knowledge, out of sagacity, and out of reasonable arguments. اُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Now we find that we have to give the right admonitions to other people, the right instructions to other people, even if they are not Muslims, at least they are human beings. So when a non-Muslim approaches us in order to receive some kind of guidance, okay, we shouldn't mislead them. Okay, they've approached us in order to receive guidance. So we are instructed to be as helpful to them as we are expected to be helpful to us, to ourselves. Another one is how to approach a wrongdoer. When some people make some mistakes, but after that, okay, they repent, they should be treated in such a way that they would sense the beauty of the divine forgiveness. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْغَافِرِينَ. All past hangovers have been wiped out. Another one is the mode of politeness in correspondence. We find that the Prophet Solomon, when he wanted to write a letter to the people of Saba in the Holy Quran, he started his letter with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Now we find that this type of politeness and mode of treatment concerns almost everybody. Everybody and everything in this regard. Another one is that when women and ladies want to talk with other men, who are not, religiously allowed to be in close interaction, ladies are expected not to talk in such a way that the mode of communication would sound quite enticing and alluring and misleading to other men.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Amongst Islamic mannerism is safeguarding and avoiding sins. These two are interconnected to each other because they both are directed towards one supreme being, that is Allah. You safeguard yourself in order to please Allah, and at the same time you avoid sins in order to follow the commandments of Allah. In Islam, there is something called nafs, your self-apprehension or spirit or soul. This thing is always awake even if you are sleeping. Most of us know whether we are doing right or wrong. This so-called feeling is what is known as nafs, meaning your inner self. Many times you would find that you are doing something but you are regretting it from your heart because your inner soul knows you are transgressing the bounds of Allah, because Shaitan has empowered and defeated you, and that is why you are doing it. If only you could have defeated Shaitan, then you wouldn't be doing that certain act. They can admit when they are wrong. Who are they? Polite people. Yes, amongst the habits of polite people is this item. They can admit when they are wrong. Being wrong isn't fun, but a polite person will acknowledge when they are in error. Take responsibility for the mistake and do what they can to correct it. Some people don't like to admit when they are wrong, but instead of making them look smart, it makes them seem arrogant and ignorant. The other habit is that they make others feel comfortable. Whether it is having a cold glass of water ready or moving to a quieter room, the main habit polite people share is their ability to put others at ease. Polite people often have a keen eye to recognize when people are uncomfortable, and they know the little things they can do to help fix that.
Is this something wrong with religion? Can we blame religion for this? Can we blame the book? We say this book has a defect. This means that the Quran has a defect. Why? Because those who memorize the Quran and read the Quran, they are not organized. Is this the problem with the book, or the problem with the prophet, or a problem with the mosque, or a problem with Islam, with the faith? Where is the problem? In fact, religion, my friends, it's part of the culture. And what influences people and drives them is not religion, it's the culture, where religion is part of it. And therefore, when people do not change, and religion came to change the culture of the people, the customs of the people. This is exactly what God says in the Quran. God said, we sent the prophet to change their customs, their behavior, their mentality, their attitude, their manners, their akhlaq. This is why we sent the prophet. So if religion fails to change the culture, that religion is going to be superficial and artificial. Just ceremonies and rituals. Just ceremonies and rituals. Mere ceremonies, which has no spiritual or moral effect on the society. It becomes a ritualistic religion. Ritualistic. Only sha'air. But there is no spirit. There is no outcome. There is no product. There is no change. So you can find some people, they don't miss their prayers. But when he looks at the trash in front of his house and the alleyway in the streets, he doesn't care. It's okay for him. This is very okay. Not knowing, or knowing but not caring, that Islam says an-nadafatul iman. Even your prayers is not going to be accepted if you are not nadif, if you are not clean, if your home is not clean, if your kitchen not clean, if your bedroom, if your car, if the parking lot is not clean, if your marketplace is not clean, then what sort of prayers you are doing? They don't pay attention to that. And therefore, when always culture prevails, then we have this life of backwardness, life of always lingering behind others, behind other people, behind other cultures.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue for another one tomorrow. Till then, have a nice time and fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.